Yeah, so I started off my acting career in the Gaiety School of Acting in Dublin, and I did a lot of theatre work outside that, and then I got a role in Fair City, which I was delighted to get because it's such a fantastic TV show, and I learned the ropes of TV. I mean, it's so fast-paced, but you just got to keep up, and I learned very fast there. So I enjoyed my time there. And then after the Fair City, I moved to London because I got an offer for an agent over there, so I went over, I signed. And then I actually got a role on The Tudors then, so that was filming back in Ireland. So I was between London and Dublin at the time. So just to give you a bit of background, I'm a Meath lass, and I have come from a family of five. My mom, my dad, my two sisters, and we are like the Brady Bunch. We are so tight. We're as lovey-dovey, even too lovey-dovey, you know. So it's really nice to have such a nice upbringing and a fantastic family. So growing up, I mean, we all grow up with these. Sometimes we grow up with baggage, and everybody has their different things that they deal with. And I suppose I was no different than that. And I grew up with, from the age of 12, with a lot of struggles, which is a very young age. And I don't mind being so open about it. I always say that because if this story helps somebody or reaches out, I don't mind being so open. And so when I was growing up, I suffered different kinds of abuse. Now, I always say all outside the home. None of this was inside the home. And I guess from such a young age, I didn't know how to deal with it, really. And I kept a lot of it to myself for a long time. But then it kind of came out in different ways, like I was self-harming. I had suicide thoughts. I had depression. I would just be sad for no reason. And then I started like having an eating disorder as well. And I suppose with the eating disorder, all I can think of is, like, that was for most of my teenage years. And I suppose with the eating disorder, because of all that kind of abuse that happened, I wanted to take back some kind of control over my life, which is a very unhealthy way to do it. But that's how I thought that I could do it. So I was kind of going through all these different things growing up. And then obviously my way of dealing with it, I suppose, was throwing myself into my career. And that's how I thought, right, okay, this is what life is. Life is career. If I reach this high in my career, then I've made it. I'll be happy. That'll fill that void that's empty within me. So I did that. So I threw much, as I said, I went to the Gaiety, did the TV film, threw myself into all that. So then I got the biggest job of my career, The Tudors. And here I am, like, brilliant, and you're on that buzz because you just booked and you're working hard. But then halfway through filming, we were filming for a couple of months over the summer, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, I just went whoomp, like the lowest of the low I've ever felt in my whole entire life. Everything from my teenage years was just coming back to haunt me, if you like. And I just felt so low, like rock bottom, if you could call it, and severely depressed. All these suicide thoughts starting to come back, because I think I got so thrown that here I am at the height of my career where I thought that void would be filled within me, and it wasn't, and that threw me. So I guess I start to question life. What's life about? What's the meaning of life? Why am I here? What's the point? You know, and I just didn't have any, motivation for life, really. Nothing excited me. So all these suicide thoughts were just flowing around my head, and I just thought, you know what, I know it's hard to say I'm going to end my life, because I just didn't really see a point. But a year previous to all this, just to take you back what happened, because I was brought up in a Christian home. And I was so glad to have that background. Like, of, I knew who God was, but I just kind of put him aside and put my career in front, if you know what I mean. But when I was on Fair City, one of the actors in between the breaks of filming, we used to be in the RTE canteen, and he's like, do you know, he's like, I'm going to preach to you. He's from London, you know, and he's like, I'm going to preach to you, girl. I'm going to tell you about Jesus and all this, and God loves you. And he told me these things, and I wasn't ready to hear it at the time, but it sunk in there, like, you know, and I kept firing questions at him, by the way, this, but he was just like very gently, well, this is what the Bible says, and somehow it just spoke to me, or just sunk into my heart or something. So taken back to then, he had actually moved back to London to be with his family home. So it was just, I think that's an absolute God moment right there. The two of us seemed to be in London at this time. I was at my rock bottom. So in the breaks of filming for The Tudors, I went to London Bridge and I said, this is it, I'm jumping off. And I've said before, I remember seeing this kind of red light in the water, and I had this horrible, nasty voice in my head, and I was like, go on, jump, jump, you know you want to do it, jump. I don't know what that voice was, but it was nasty. And I just remember crying. I'd printed off stuff from the internet about God and what my life was. And I was searching. I was searching. And I just remember shouting out that moment with tears in my eye, God, if you're out there, if you are real, if you're true, you need to show up right now or I'm jumping. That's it. Done. And I suppose maybe shouldn't test God or whatever, but I did, like, in that moment, you know. So my friend who had, was talking to me about God from Fair City, he was in London, and So he was having a nap at the time, and he woke up from his nap, and he just had this urge to find me, go find Rebecca. So he just started praying. He just knew something was wrong, and I suppose he's a strong Christian and stuff like that, you know. So he just started running. He ran to my house and he knocked on my door. My sister answered. He said, "Where's Rebecca?" She said, "She's gone out for a walk." He started running. She's shouting, "Where is she? Why are you running? What's going on?" So she was worried and panicking. So he started running. He didn't know where to go. I mean, London is a pretty big place, you know. So he just started running and he started praying. And even he said he never experienced anything like this in his life. He saw these visions in front of him, two ways of me like killing myself. And one was me jumping in front of a train, which I had actually a couple of days previously. I was so close to jump in front of a tube just to get over quickly, but I just couldn't do it in the moment. And then the other vision was of water, and he saw London Bridge. He saw exactly where it was in this vision, like, you know. So he came and he said people were just flying in front of me, couldn't see me. He kept praying, "God, where is she? Where is she?" He was praying. And then he said even like him, it was like the Red Sea or something, like the people just seemed to part, and bam, there I was standing there. And even he was shook up and kind of crying as well, like it was just all too much, I suppose. It was a lot to take in. So he came to me and I got a fright. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm after asking God to show up and show me that he's real, and then here's my Christian friend here. So I said that was enough for me to know he was real. And Michael just started talking to me about how important my life was, what the Bible says about that your life is precious, that God has a plan for you to give you a good future, a good hope. That's from Jeremiah 29:11, and I always held on to that. So from then I moved home. I got plugged into a church. I just said, right, God, I'm going to put everything aside right now. I need to concentrate on myself and get better. So that's what my friend was. He just said, look, he recommended a good church. I went there. There was some fantastic gospel music. I just felt instantly uplifted. And I remember reading in the book of James, it said, if anybody is sick, go to somebody in the church and ask them to pray for you. So I was like, right, I suppose I'll give that a go, like, you know. So I went to the pastor there and I'm like, look, this is what's happening. Can you pray for me? Because the book of James says to come and ask you, you know. And I was just taking everything in the Bible literally, and it worked for me, like, you know. So I was kind of going, oh my gosh, the Bible says this, I'm doing this, and this is working. Couldn't believe it. Well, I could, because it was happening. So that was it. And then I just got plugged. Anything to do with God, I got stuck in, because I said, I'm giving this 100% because this is working for me. I cannot explain the feeling that I went to Bible class, I joined the choir, and I got prayer, more prayer as well. And the feeling, the only way I can describe the feeling of depression is it's like this huge, like a dark, dark cloud that's just heavy on your chest, and you can't, like, you're breathing and you can't get it off. And I just, that feeling just went. And then even the likes of forgiveness, like all those people who had harmed me and, you know, growing up, like all outside home again. But I, for the first time, forgave them. And I thought of them with no hatred or anger or anything. And I can't explain that. It's just gone out of my heart. Like, and I think it's just like God has taken it out. It's just gone. I can't explain it. And I feel, if anybody who knows me knows, I can't stop smiling. I feel so free, happy, peaceful. And I can only thank God for that.
Rebecca, that's an incredibly powerful story. What would you say to somebody being skeptical of that story? Do you mind me asking?
I suppose I was there myself. I threw questions at my friends when, how about this? So ask questions, because the Bible says even don't just take everything. Like, find out for yourself. So search the Bible. If somebody tells you something, find out for yourself. Like, I can put this lovely, say for instance, a lovely fresh cream jam donut in front of you, and I can tell you how lovely it is, but you'll never ever know how lovely it is until you try for yourself. So try it.
Where are you at now? How are things going for you now that you're back and everything?
Well, 10 years later, this is 10 years on, and I am the happiest I've ever been. I still love my career, but it's not my whole thing in my life. God is number one in my life. Everything else follows. I've never been so happy and free in all my life. Things are going great. I'm on Spirit Radio now. I'm presenting the breakfast show there with Mark Fennell, and I'm also a newsreader there. And I'm just releasing actually my debut EP this year. So if you're into music out there, you want to check me out as well, I'm on Facebook on Rebecca Ryan Music. So give me a shout out there as well.
And where can people get access to your record?
Well, currently at the moment, it's just being produced at the moment. So if you keep an eye on my Facebook, Rebecca Ryan Music, I'll put all the details. It'll be on iTunes towards the end of the year.
What's the song about?
It's an EP, so there's 6 tracks. It's about love. You have to write an EP about love. Love is great. But I would say, I just want to encourage anybody who's maybe going through a dark time as well, just reach out. I know you feel like you just want to lock yourself in your room and not talk to anybody, but just fight that feeling and please reach out to somebody, a friend or a friend or a parent or somebody you trust, please just talk to somebody, and even a local church, get Googling.